like to call the February 6th meeting of the Bucksport Planning Board to order. Roll call.
James Morrison.
Yes.
Brian McDonald.
Here.
David Grant's absent. Steve Feit.
Present.
Edward Belcher.
Here.
George Hanson.
Here.
Christopher Johnson.
Here.
Review and acceptance of minutes from the January 2nd, 2017 meeting.
That should be 2018.
2018, I'm sorry.
Did you have 2018 on the minute?
I hope so.
I think so. I think it did.
Yeah.
Move to accept the minutes as submitted.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor? Chair's report, there is none. Code enforcement officer's report.
I just have a couple of things for you tonight. I want to hand out this form that you're being asked to sign and return to the town office, or return to me tonight if you want to sign it. It deals with the town's sexual harassment policy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And the other thing I'll bring to your attention is an upcoming workshop in Ellsworth. It's another one of the series of Striking a Balance in Hancock County workshops. This one is planning board focused. Topics include the role of the board, determining findings of facts, ethics, conflict of interest, right to know, and ex parte communication. And there'll also be a session on subdivision reviews and a few updates about changes in laws recently. If you're interested in going, it's on March 29th. There's a registration fee of $18, but the town is going to cover that for you if you want to go. Let me know by March 1st if you want to attend this session so I can make certain that we get you registered and get the fees paid in time.
Okay, what time is that start?
I'll hand out the brochures.
I've gone to these before, Mr. Chairman. They really do a good job. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you and I went to.
Yeah.
These aren't going to sell. We've done some.
The speaker is the Director of Planning from the Southern Maine Planning and Development Commission, Lee J. Feldman. I've not heard him speak, but it sounds like an interesting session. I think it might be beneficial for you to go. So let me know. And that's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. This time I'll open a limited public forum. It's an opportunity for the public to address the board on matters related to land use or planning in the town of Bucksport, but typically not on the agenda tonight. So does anybody have anything to say? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Sue Lissard, and I'm not a resident of Bucksport other than in the summer when my boat is moored down at the marina. But I am the town manager, and I attended this evening to hear your discussion, to hear the public hearing that you're going to be holding, but also wanted to take an opportunity to thank all of you for your service to the town and for your work on a number of issues in my time here that have been very important to us, the marijuana discussion, the changes to the zoning ordinance that have made it some of the possible development on Main Street a little less onerous on some of the residents and other work that you've done. It's very important to the town, and this board is, along with the town council, the most influential and important board that serves the community, and I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Is there an agenda for the public? Is there anything written?
I don't know that we have copies.
Don't have copies.
Can we?
It's okay.
I can make some.
Well.
It's okay.
The only copy I have has got writing on it, so.
Okay. Anything else?
There's only two items on the agenda, both dealing with the same topic.
Hearing nothing else, I'll close the limited public forum. And we'll move on to unfinished business. First item is a public hearing. Proposed contract zone agreement to allow a 60-lot mobile home park in the R1 DCR, R1 SL, and RPO districts on a lot fronting Canal Street identified on the town tax map 5 as Lot 22. The applicant is Michael Hawes. So at this time, I'll open the public hearing.
Mr. Chairman, could I suggest maybe just doing a brief presentation to refresh everybody's memory about what this is about? I have some pictures to show you. So this is a public hearing to take public comment on a proposed mobile home park on Outer Central Street. Good enough, Steve. Leave the one on the left on, Steve.
Right here?
No, the one on the left. Yeah, leave that one on. Push the green.
There you go. Thank you.
So the reason we're here tonight is because the proposed mobile home park is located on a property that's in a zone where mobile home parks are not allowed. And we're dealing with that prohibition through a process called contract zoning, which I'll describe a little bit more in a few minutes. But I want to first of all show you some pictures of where this property is. And obviously I've highlighted it in blue. This is roughly the shape of the property. It might be a little bit difference in here of where the exact lot line is. But what I want to point out here is that this parcel is located between two town-owned parcels. This is our public works department is located here, and to the right is where our transfer station and the closed landfill is located. And also abuts another parcel here the town owns where we have some recreational trails developed. As I said, mobile home parks are not allowed, but mobile homes are allowed in the district that governs the use of this property, which is primarily in a rural district. There's some shoreland zoning as well, which I'll point out in a minute, but most of that property is in the rural district. And then, as I said, mobile home parks are allowed in the rural district. R1 and R2 both allow mobile home parks, mobile homes, as well as in the Route 15 residential commercial district, which follows Route 15 all the way up to the town line. These are the only areas in town where mobile homes are allowed on individual lots. And that actually is a large area of land because most of our land, most of our town is located in the rural areas, the rural zones. But just to point out, I knew that was going to slide on me, but this is the tax map that shows, again, the lot we're talking about tonight is here. But what I want to point out on this map is that all these individual lots, each could be permitted with a mobile home. So you could, in effect, have a large area of mobile home development around our Silver Lake, and that's perfectly legal. But as I pointed out in our land use ordinance, mobile home parks are not allowed in the Rural 1 district or Rural 2. Well, they're allowed in Rural 1 with the exception. In R2, they're not allowed. The exception in the R1 is that they're only allowed in this area here. I won't read this to you, but I'll show you on the next illustration of what this description represents on our map.
Here I've outlined that written description I just talked about. This is the area that refers to. Within this area here, mobile home parks are allowed. This area and a small portion of the Route 15 residential district over here are the only places in town where mobile home parks are allowed now. We have one mobile home park that is located approximately right here, almost opposite the property that we're talking about tonight, which is outlined right here. So you see we're not very far off in terms of distance as to where mobile home parks are allowed and where we're going to consider allowing another one on an adjacent property. This also shows how this property is zoned. We have the dark gray shade here is the resource protection overlay district. That's a shoreland district. It's the first 250 feet inland from the water. And then the white area is the R1 Silver Lake section. That's a special rural one section that has a few additional restrictions for development purposes. And then the lighter gray shade here is the R1 development corridor, which follows all our back roads to a distance of about 1,000 feet on either side of the road. The first plan that was submitted a few months ago looked like this. We had mobile home lots here. This is Central Street here. We had mobile home lots here as well as in here. But after that meeting, the plan was changed. And this is the latest plan that I have. It shows the lots are gone now from this section here, and we have, I can't remember how many lots we have here.
Six.
Yeah. The maximum number of lots that are proposed in this mobile home park now is going to be 60. There will likely be fewer than that because this map here does not show you where your septic systems will be located. And that's going to take up a pretty good chunk of land that may require some reduction in the total number of lots. I also want to show you again this is a DEP map that shows the watershed for Silver Lake. As you all know, Silver Lake provides our public water supply. And I have an X here to mark the approximate location of this property we're talking about. And it clearly is within the watershed of Silver Lake. It's because of that, notices were sent out to the public water supplier. Maine Water Company received the notice of this application and also of this public hearing tonight, as well as several abutters. The surrounding properties here all got notices of this meeting. So what we're doing tonight is dealing with a proposed contract zone, and this is where this is from our land use ordinance, and this is where the details are about what you're doing, how you conduct your review in terms of proposed contract zoning. And what a contract zone is essentially it's a rezoning of a parcel or parcels of land that are under the same ownership for the purposes of allowing a land use that's not otherwise allowed by the existing zoning district. And it exists through a written contract between the town and the property owner that spells out the terms of the agreement, what is allowed in that zone, and the various conditions of conducting that use. So to be allowed in a contract zone, you have to show that the rezoning is consistent with the purposes of the town's comprehensive plan. The land use is consistent with existing and permitted uses in any applicable underlying district. The land use has received planning board approval as a conditional use. Appropriate conditions and restrictions relating to the physical development and use of the property have been made part of the approval. The town council has approved the rezoning for the land use, and both the property owner and the town have entered into a written agreement that provides for the implementation and enforcement of all terms and conditions imposed and agreed to by the parties pursuant to this section. It goes on to say that you're required to hold a public hearing. The town council will also have to hold the public hearing. So what you're acting on tonight is not to approve the project itself. You're acting on approving the rezoning, the contract zone change. Once you've done that, assuming you approve it, that will go to the town council. They will hold their own public hearing and also take action on approving the contract zone change. After that's done, the property owner will be back to you one more time to go through subdivision review, because mobile home parks are considered subdivisions. So it's a whole other level of review that's going to take place, assuming this all goes through as planned. Any questions at all? Do you have all copies of the draft contract zone agreement?
Yeah.
I do. Did we receive more than one?
Mm-hmm.
I received the one I got.
There was a revised version that was sent to you prior to the last meeting that took out a proposed community center, and it also changed the number of total lots that were allowed, and the agreement also was revised to show that the property owner is going to either put a septic system in for the mobile home park or connect to the town's public sewer, depending on the outcome of your subdivision review.
Does anyone have any comment? Cool. Please come up.
Jim, is the public hearing now been open?
Yes. Okay. Just a couple of questions. My name's Don White. I live on the Town Farm Road. Has contract zoning been used before?
Yes, it has.
Okay. How close to the lake would this proposal actually be?
Well, the shoreland zone is 250 feet inland from the shoreline, and I think the actual mobile home park will be quite a distance further than that because of the topography of the land. It slopes off pretty steeply there, so that sloping land is not really suitable for development for lots.
Quite a distance then?
I don't think there's an exact distance.
It's quite a way
to
speak to the land.
Quarter mile?
No. I don't know. It takes about 45 minutes to walk into
okay.
the water. It's probably, yeah, it's quite a hike. Yeah. If you ever want to walk it, I'm more alone.
Okay.
If you want rivers. So
and how far from the landfill, the old landfill, is it?
Pretty close to that.
Pretty close?
Yeah. Yeah, actually kind of right behind it.
Right behind it.
Yeah.
Just a thought. There's been some energy in town about bringing forth the idea of a solar landfill a solar field to the old transfer station behind it. I don't know if those would be mutually exclusive or not, but there is some thought, and we've come to the council before and I've talked. I know that there's a couple projects in town that are prior to that, but there is some thought about approaching the town again about having a solar field on the old landfill for municipal use. So thanks for your time.
East Stewart, Bucksport. I would recommend that you approve this project. I think it's a good thing going forward, and we can have some further hearings on it, but at this point I think it's a well worthwhile effort to go forward with. Thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you. I guess we'll close the public hearing. Any discussion on our part?
Mr. Chairman, they've used the comprehensive plan as one of the reasons why with the senior housing I believe happened, as to why they're putting this application in. When we did the comprehensive plan, I don't know how many they're here. One of the things we talked about with the comprehensive plan was to try and encourage senior housing more in the compact area. And I'm concerned that this doesn't address that issue of moving this, you know, this puts a demand on services in an outside area. And I'm not sure how the town would be able to service that. And on top of that, the issue of the water and the sewer in such a tenuous spot. For me, to change the zoning as critical as this is makes me wonder why we're even doing this, which is, I just feel that we have to decide what we're going to do here with our zoning laws. And since I've been on this board this time, I've been kind of discouraged with the way we, I don't want to say ignored, but pushed aside some of the zoning rules that we've had. And I feel that we're gonna keep changing these things and putting a contract zone in a water shed area such as that. And I don't understand why we have zoning here. It just makes me confused as to why even bother. Maybe the thing to do is, instead of having these kind of things pop up or ignoring certain standards, that we just need to take a hard look at what we're doing with zoning in this town. The zoning was put there for a purpose. These zones were put there for a purpose. And I know that, you know, Jeff's made the discussion about the fact that the zone across the road is applicable across Empress Street for this kind of development. And I think there's a reason for that. There is a reason that that road was used as. And what actually part of that is still in the watershed. So, but again, it's quite a distance away from the actual water body itself. So I really have a dubious feeling about going forward with this. And I would, I'll wait till I hear from anybody else as to how they feel about this.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Is that, because it's in that watershed area, does that constitute that there's going to be more strenuous or testing of water and the soil conditions periodically, or does that make a difference? Or I understood that the state now takes care of the testing of the water, the wells that have been drilled around the
landfill
site. And I was wondering if this, because this is in that zone, is that going to take place? Is there going to be have to be testing done to ensure that nothing does encroach on the drinking water?
I think it's likely that, as a matter of fact, the contract zone requires us to be a public water supply, which means that it is subject to annual testing.
I'm sorry, it requires that they use a...
Yeah, it's... let's just say that...
They'll have to drill their own well.
Middle of the first page.
Public. For 60 units.
So the project shall include a public water system licensed by the Maine Drinking Water Program. So it's a public water supply, means, you know, it has to be determined to be safe for public use through testing.
Okay, I understand now. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
One of the other concerns I have is exactly what Mr. Morrison was talking about. And one of the concerns I have is the long-term viability of any water well in that area, considering that the town landfill is butting up against it. I'm not sure I want to put the town in jeopardy, which I think I would be should I vote for this, of the possibility of having to remediate a well system out there, because I know that they have the test results now, and I assume they're looking pretty good. I haven't seen one since 3 years ago. And they are hard to understand sometimes what they test, but I just think it would be a folly for the town to put this in with the possibility of having to provide remediation at potential great expense down the road. I don't know why the town would want something like that, right, butting up against their landfill. That's another reason that I'm concerned about this placement running from a well. Thank you.
Anybody else? I have concerns about the water, the well water, and the condition of Silver Lake. I don't know if it's a concern that affects this decision or the subdivision application, but I question whether to go, if there are major hurdles in a possible subdivision application, why go there in the first place? I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what to, you know, if we approve this just with the thought that, you know, we have concerns about the drinking water and the septic, I wouldn't want to approve one just to possibly shoot down the next. Just seems like a waste of everybody's time, but and in the comprehensive plan it does mention that there is a possible need for elderly housing, and housing for disabled. You know, as we all get older, some of us are going to need more help than others. I don't know if that would also be, that would probably be more in the subdivision section of it, I would think. But
it's really kind of difficult to separate this from the zoning issue that you're dealing with tonight and the subdivision issue, which you may deal with in the future. They're really different things in a way. I mean, you're being asked tonight to decide if a mobile home park is a suitable land use in this part of town. You're not being asked to consider whether the soils are suitable for septic systems, or there's a sufficient water supply for drinking water. Those things you take up in a subdivision review, and you can ask for very detailed information during that review to support the applicant's claim that yes, there will be sufficient and safe water to serve this mobile home park. Yes, there are suitable soils for septic system. Those things you can ask for and should get documentation during your subdivision review, not during the contract zoning phase. You just really, if you can just try to think, is will a mobile home park fit in this part of town?
Well, I think back to, go ahead.
On that last meeting, I asked Jeff about information concerning some material that we received when we reviewed the zoning change here on the waterfront. And we received a letter from Michael Stoltz, Staff Attorney, Legal Services Department at Maine Municipal Association, in which he discussed the difference between contract and conditional zoning. One of the things that he mentioned in here, one of the requirements for conditional and contract zoning is that the contract zone agreement must only include conditions and restrictions that relate to the physical development or operation of the property. So I'm assuming with that we could make an alteration to this contract now based upon those that statement or that opinion of that gentleman, that we could start putting into this contract zone some thoughts we might have or some needs we might want to see met before we get to the subdivision review, if that becomes an option. That this contract tonight can be changed, I assume. And Mr. Hawes may or may not, you know, want to do that. I don't know. But that's how I read that. You know, and he refers to the particular court case, and then he also refers to Section 30A of the MRSA, Section 4352, the statutory requirements. So you're right, we can't be dealing with certain items tonight, but we sure can, according to this gentleman, include conditions and restrictions that relate to the physical development or the operation of the property. That's how he reads this.
We could put it in a condition that absolves the town of liabilities?
Try anything, I guess we might want to do. I don't know. That's what this gentleman sent this letter to Jeff. I don't have the date on it, but concerning the difference between conditional and contract zoning. Now, you all received this copy of it. We were doing the review of the shore situation here on the south side of Main Street.
In the lighthouse.
Right. Well, for that.
Plus Michael Jakes or something.
Right now.
So, you know, this is an opportunity, I read from that, to make some of these changes or make some of these proposals and decide if it's sufficient to do that without waiting to go into a subdivision review.
This property is its own right now, could be subdivided for residential, I mean, single family homes, up to whatever number you could put on there with a separate well and septic system. As it's currently zoned.
So yes. It is able to be subdivided now?
It's a rural district and dwellings are allowed in the rural district, yeah.
It's just the mobile home issue is the
mobile home park is the issue.
Define a mobile home versus manufactured housing.
Well, mobile homes are a type of manufactured housing.
No.
They are.
You're in a different realm.
No, not according to the latest data, and he's right. The way the definitions are in the code.
Yeah, modular housing, that's manufactured. Modular housing is manufactured housing. Mobile homes that predate HUD standards are manufactured housing, and mobile homes that meet HUD standards are manufactured housing.
But a lot of your manufactured housing can go on foundations, true foundations.
Well, modulars typically would go on a basement foundation.
Which is a home. Not a mobile home.
That's a matter of fact.
They don't come with wheels.
Yeah. So, Mr. Chairman, if I could back to Johnson's suggestion that we looked at conditions of approval of this contract. So, the proposed agreement does have conditions in it already. Would you like me to go through those?
Please.
Okay, so here's what's permitted through this agreement. Project consisting of an up to 60 lots mobile home park along with related site improvements shall be an allowed occupancy within the Central Street Mobile Home Park contract zone. Project shall include an engineered subsurface wastewater disposal system or a connection to the town's public sewer system. The project shall include a public water system licensed by the Maine Drinking Water Program. All uses currently identified as allowed uses in the R1 DCR district, the R1 SL district, and the RPO district shall have the same identity within the Central Street Mobile Home Park contract zone, except as otherwise identified in this agreement. So here's restrictions and conditions that are applicable to the Central Street Mobile Home Park contract zone. Number one, subdivision approval must be obtained from the planning board before the project may be permitted. Number two, a mobile home park license must be obtained from the Maine Manufactured Housing Board before the project may be permitted. Number three, all required approvals from the Maine Department of Environmental Protection must be obtained before the project may be permitted. Number four, all required approvals from the Maine Department of Transportation must be obtained before the project may be permitted. Number five, the mobile home park shall have a written policy limiting occupancy to citizens 55 years of age or older. Any changes to this limitation must be approved by the Bucksport Town Council. Number six, no commercial uses may be allowed in the mobile home park. And the last one, number seven, the mobile home park must be operated in compliance with all applicable rules, regulations, and laws. And yes, as Mr. Johnson pointed out, you can change this. This is a draft agreement. This is what you're doing right now. You're taking a look at this agreement to see if it's suitable for your approval. So you can make additions, deletions, modifications, whatever you want to do.
What underlying reasons left this a zone that couldn't have a mobile home park in it? What were the underlying reasons? That it was too close to the lake? That it's within the drinking water runoff? Just because it was on that side of Central Street? There must have been a reason that it was zoned in that way. Is it a regulation by the state that it's zoned that way? Or is it just the town, our town itself, zone things as they are?
Mm-hmm. Well, keep in mind, it's not just that one property where mobile home parks are not allowed. There's a huge swath of land in Bucksport where mobile home parks are not allowed right now.
Yes.
As I pointed out in that one illustration, there's a small section between Central Street, Rusty Hill Road, and Route 46 that...
Yes, but I understand. Allowed. And there must be an underlying reason to restricting mobile home parks to just that one section of property of the town. Is it because the residents don't want to see mobile home parks in their areas, or is it because the conditions of the other areas aren't there that they could put a mobile home park? Or there must be a reason that these only that one area is allowed to have the mobile home parks. If it's that there's reasons that it shouldn't be that in that area, other than because we only have one spot that we can have mobile home parks, then yeah, I'm willing to say no, we can't put one there. But if there's no underlying reason that says this is a spot we can't have a mobile home park, we can get away with putting them everywhere else, but this is one that we absolutely cannot put them, I'm not hearing anybody say that this is the reason. Mr. Johnson has said, yeah, there's conditions there that would cause water problems or other problems involving the lake as well as the water runoff from the landfill. If these are valid enough problems and valid enough reasons, then yeah. But I don't see why one spot is different than another in the town. I don't understand why the zoning is the way it is. If it's not a state regulation that's causing that, then why have we made that thus in this town?
I can't recall what the town's original zoning ordinance how it restricted mobile home parks. The original zoning ordinance was adopted in 1995, and I don't remember now, but in 2010, after about a three-year review, we have our current land use ordinance. And I can't speak for the ordinance committee or the town council at that time as to why they felt that it was appropriate to really severely restrict where mobile home parks are allowed in town. It may have had something to do with the reputation, sometimes undeserved reputation, that goes along with mobile home parks as being the traditional trashy trailer parks, you know, that come to mind. The mobile home parks we have in town now, I wouldn't classify by that description at all. We have some very nicely kept mobile home parks in Bucksport. We have four mobile home parks, and two of them are conforming because they're allowed in the district where they're located, and two of them are not. They're not conforming because they're outside the areas, but...
Are you still taking comments, or...
Can. I don't have a problem with it. Sure.
Pete Stewart, Bucksport. I think Mr. Hansen answered your question. You're here, and in my opinion, you're looking at whether you want changes to a zone. If it was housing, you would deal with a subdivision at that time. All we're looking at, and I think Mr. Morrison pointed, do we not want to have mobile home parks? And I think we've decided that mobile home parks can be, you know, a good place to have, or look pretty good and be okay. The decision is, when it comes to a subdivision, are we going to allow his subdivision to go into place? I think you've answered your question that, yes, go ahead and change the contract zone and make that zone available to have a mobile home park, and then decide if his subdivision fits the necessary requirements. Thank you.
Thank you. I guess my next question would be, what do we have in place for policing that this mobile home park remains aesthetically acceptable in the town? Is there a system that is that part of your job description, that you go there and make sure that this complies, that we're not going to have a trashed area, or how is that taken care of? Is the town able to go in and say, no, you're not doing the right thing, do this better?
Every mobile home that would be allowed in any mobile home park in Bucksport requires a permit. And before a permit can be issued, the owner of that mobile home has to prove that it complies with the requirements that we have in place now for mobile homes, the standards that apply. And then we also have property maintenance regulations that would apply to how properties are kept clear of trash and garbage, things of that nature. So that's enforceable throughout the town.
So essentially, as long as the people in the town that are in the position to do so do their jobs, this wouldn't be any kind of a problem. It sounds to me like we're not going to end up with a typical mobile home park that's not going to be up to the standards that we want to see there. My opinion on it.
Kind of seems to me what we're talking about is just the difference in density if we allow a contract zone. Contract zone is going to allow more mobile homes in there or homes in there than currently would be allowed if you had a subdivision. In a subdivision situation, all those homes are going to have a separate well, probably, and a separate septic system. I think the contract zone actually gives you more control over what goes in there than if you've got separate residential lots out there because of the conditions that we've set forth in the contract zone. I think a well-designed cluster system, or probably it's not quite a cluster system, but very similar, probably extends the protection of the watershed more than 25 individual septic systems, in my estimation. Mm-hmm. So I think in that light, at least I'm moving in favor of approving the contract zone, because I do think it allows us more control over the development of that piece of property.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Mr. Chairman, I can't find it now. As a point of information, I believe I read sort of in an answer to what Mr. Morrison asked, that I believe, and I think the zoning set this way, that in the Route 15 zone, I believe, is a subset criteria on the bottom. It talks about that this kind of housing activity should be no more than 5 miles from the town, village compact area. And I think the reason for that was, I suspect, some of it was access to, you know, facility, this density in relation to the services needed or services required from the fire, the police. And I suspect also that that rule was put in place with the idea that further out you get, there's a lot of reasons that there's always a pressure to provide services, whether it's water, sewer, knowing full well that not in my lifetime that it'll ever get much beyond up there where it is, but I think there's always that desire to bring this kind of dense development closer to town and not put the stress on the services as well as the environment, as well as with the potential of hooking them up someday to the public services. So I think the intention has always been there to be careful about where you place this high density housing. The thing that's unfortunate is the discussion of using this application based upon the senior citizen housing request from the comprehensive plan. And I'd like to just stop now and just gather my thoughts on that, because there was another point here I was going to make about that, and unfortunately my brain is crippled, so I'll comment on it. If there was something there, it just works against the applicant. Yeah, I know that this whole concept of 55 or older or over, I don't know how you manage that. I don't know how you legislate that. I don't know how a code enforcement officer would ever get involved with that. I don't even know if that's legal. I'm not even sure it's ethical to say it has to be 55 or over. They brought that out when they addressed the comprehensive plan desire for more senior housing. So I don't know how that gets resolved.
Mr. Hawes was going to place it in the contract for the individual owners.
It's kind of like the covenant.
That's the way he was going to do it.
It's just like the down Florida they have.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. How do you maintain that level?
It's a contract.
I know it's a contract. I understand that. But the gentleman came that night and said, I'm 55. What if I bring my 40-year-old girlfriend in?
It's going to be in the contract. And actually, you guys don't even have to worry about it. It doesn't have any need, you guys.
Yep. And that has to be something in the contract that guarantees that,
like,
kind
you said,
of level.
It's in the contract.
I know quite a few 55-year-olds with children still living with them.
Yep.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah, how does that work? That's interesting.
About how we have the contract right now. I mean, there won't be any children. I'm sure if they're married to someone 5 years, I don't know. I got to look at how they're doing it in Florida. It's going to be the same setup.
I understand. I'm just at this point, Mr. Hawes, saying it needs to be some real thought on
how.
There's
going to be a lot of thought.
Because you brought up the senior issue and addressed it by making that 55 level. That was something you put in, and I thought, okay, so going forward, how does that work, and how does the town assume responsibility? Does the town assume responsibility?
It's going to be in the contract, and I'll show you.
I understand it's going to be in the contract. I understand that. It would have to be very detailed in the contract. Are you potentially looking at a property manager that would review that on a, you know, is it up to the town to make sure that that's, or is it up to the contract with the applicant? And how's the applicant deal with that? You know, these are the details that sometimes get placed on the wayside, and I'm not saying Mr. Hawes would do that. But this concern is
what would happen. I'm sorry for interrupting, but what would happen if, I'm not saying he would, but what would happen if we approve and he goes forward and everything works and he breaks his contract with the town? What happens then?
Without ever getting here.
There's a simple statement in there regarding enforcement, which says that the town shall have the ability to enforce any breach of this agreement or any other violation of the Busport Town Code through the provisions of law. Just like any violation can be handled that way.
That's explained here in this SD.
That's right.
What does this have to do with contract zone, changing the zone?
Are you addressing that to me?
Yes.
Okay.
When we talk about contract zoning related to physical development, which we talked about, or operation of the property. The operation of the property, you've got various criteria in here. Restriction conditions already in place. What I'm trying to understand is the details of that particular 55 or over. It says in here, limiting a written policy, limiting occupancy assistance 55 years or over. You use that based upon what was in the comprehensive plan,
right?
So I'm just saying, well, what's the detail on that? I mean, I don't know how all changes must be approved by the Bucksport Town Council. What's the maintenance of that contract, that restriction and condition? It's easy to say we're gonna. I mean, I'm not sure 55 or over is something I even think is a good idea, but that's me. And that's out of your business plan, obviously. And my feeling is that I just don't know how that would be managed, how that would be guaranteed, or whatever it is. When that gentleman again came in that hearing that day and made that comment, nobody commented. A couple people laughed. Thought it was quite funny. And I thought, well, that gets to the gist of it, doesn't it? Which is, how do you know that you're going to have 55 or older people on there? And I'm not sure that I think that's even fair, but that's what's in this contract zone. So I don't know if I answered your question. I tried to say, I'm looking to see how the town would handle that. Or how is that going to be maintained?
Right. So being like Jeff said, you'll have to go to court or whatever if it got broke. Mm-hmm. So that answers no question.
There's also a statement in this draft agreement that the property owner agrees that if he wants to change his business model and allow families or teenagers only or whatever the case may be in this mobile home park, he has to get town council approval to do that.
There are a number of communities in the state with developments that are age-restricted, and it's not an uncommon thing, whether this happens to be a mobile home park, but there are private community developments that are very high density and are 55 and above, and so the regulations are out there for restrictions, and my experience in a community that had a major one was that there was never a question raised about the age of the people that were living in this development. But it's different because it's a mobile home park. I think that the idea of 55 and above is not an unknown
in terms of legality or in the state. It's present in any location. So it seems to me it'd be up to Mr. Hawes to, you know, to
enforce it.
I mean, the person that's applying to have a mobile home on that site has to sign a lease agreement with him stating everybody's over 55 or whatever, and if they violate that agreement, then he has a right to evict them, obviously.
It's in the contract. It's in the contract.
Town's issue to deal with at all. It would certainly be his.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I understand. I agree. I don't understand the reason for the 55. You know, I don't understand putting that in there. It makes no sense, other than the fact they did it in relation to the zoning, I mean, to the comprehensive plan. That was a reason. I understand that. But to me, if you're going to do 55 or above, and I'm not against or for any of that, I'm just thinking, why do that? It's a mobile home park. The assumption is it's a mobile home park. And maybe it will be 55 or above, and maybe that isn't Mr. Hawes's business plan, and it is a business interest. Maybe there's a reason to do that. I don't know. I'm just saying, that's all I was saying is, you know, where's the maintenance on this, and how will it be? Would that come through the subdivision review if it gets to that point? Thank you.
Sure. So now what? Do we want to revise, or do we want to pass this as a, or vote on as is, I should say?
I guess for purposes of discussion, I move that we approve the contract zone as submitted.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Any additional discussion? All in favor? Opposed?
Or two approves.
Or two. Stephen.
So that's.
Thank you for giving the public an opportunity again to speak, and thank you for doing a great job on this hearing.
So that's the first step. You have the endorsement of the planning board now. We'll be going to the town council. I think that can be scheduled for the next meeting this month, second meeting.
25th, is it the 25th of February?
I'm not sure.
What's the last Thursday in February?
22nd.
Is it the 22nd? 22nd. Yeah, that's 8-14 days, the 22nd.
Actually, be the
22nd. Yeah, because there's no 29th for us. All
right.
Yeah. 22. Yeah, it is 22nd.
So we'll get that on the agenda for the meeting on the 22nd and take it from there.
Next is a continued review of the proposed contract zone agreement to allow...
That's what you've already done.
New business? None. Administrative business?
I have nothing.
So you want to know by March 1st on these things, right?
A little sooner. 15th?
Is this the same one we went to before?
One like
similar.
They find Subway sandwiches to throw at you.
Yuck.
It's last time I was had to put the whole worker that was going to do the presentation was involved, like either in an accident or something. It was in Ellsworth.
Yeah.
She didn't get there until the time the thing was supposed to be almost over.
They had out the vehicle at your place, but they got at the other end of town on the way to Hancock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Discussion right now. Since not much.
So the council's going to hear that on the 22nd, but there's no reason to get the plan. Well, no, they hold a public hearing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do they discuss it at a meeting and then have a public hearing, or do they just go straight to a public hearing?
Well, I guess that's up to them.
Because you have to advertise that, right?
Yes, it'll go on the paper twice.
I don't know, it should get two. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that'd be a resolve.
What's that?
That'd be a resolve on the agenda.
It would require a public hearing.
Yes. Yeah.
And the agreement itself would be the resolve.
are you mainly who's dealing with Mr. Hawes on this?
I've been
with the town.
I've been helping him you know, with his documentation, and clearly he's been aware of the changes made to the draft agreement.
I think at some point it might be advantageous for him to have a copy of the state of Maine's phosphorus control manual, which shows you how to calculate the load of phosphorus from all these septic systems that are right next to Silver Lake, which has not had a phosphorus reading in many years. We hoped to do one last year, but you usually do them in August, and we just never got to it.
Well, that's something that can be discussed in a subdivision reading.
Yeah, it'll definitely. But it would be nice for him to know about it in advance, so he's not blindsided, so he's aware.
Well, it partially depends on his civil engineer, site engineer.
Yeah.
He has a few hurdles to get over. He has to go to DEP for, I think he's going to need a permit, and also site development, site location and development permit. Mm-hmm. So, and they certainly are aware of the fact that Silver Lake is a water body most at risk from development. That's DEP's classification. So these things will be issues you'll have to pay attention to.
Yeah, I can shoot you a copy of the plan. It has worksheets in there that might help him get an idea without spending a lot of money.
Do I hand these back to you, Mr. CEO?
I can handle that.
Thank you.
Is there anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?